This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Clay Harbor.
Playing at Wembley Stadium, 90,000 sold out crowd in London. And for some reason, my heart's beating, getting out of a limo to go date some girl. I'm like, what's wrong with you?
Football analyst for Chicago Sports Network. Former NFL player.
Not a quarterback. I'm a tight end. But I've watched a lot of tape. I've been in meeting rooms with Tom Brady. Been in meeting rooms with Drew Brees. I've been in meeting rooms with Michael Vick. Quarterbacks know what they can do and what they can't do. And I know what a quarterback can and can't do and when you're supposed to expect them to be able to be successful.
Clay Harbor with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Delighted to talk to Clay Harbor. He joins us on The Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Clay, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Just getting back from Philly. It's exciting. It was the city's still standing, believe it or not. You know, win or lose, you knew there was going to be some stuff going on out there, but it was a lot of fun.
What was it like? I mean, I watched the game, but I didn't watch it in Philly. It would be just knowing that crew, having seen Silver Linings Playbook, you know how crazy all those people are. What? How wild did it get?
Oh, it got pretty intense. And I was in the studio the whole night, pretty much, did the halftime show, the post-game show, and so I didn't get to see any of the craziness. We didn't get out of there until like 2:30 a.m.
Wow.
But on the way home, streets were still packed. There's cops with the megaphone. Get off the street! The city is now closed! You know, they're trying to get everybody out there. The people are still partying and stuff. But I missed the most of it, but still leaving the studio at 2:30 in the morning. The guys were still out and celebrating, so it was pretty crazy.
So you're doing post-game for WIP. You are there till 2:30 in the morning. Just curious, when you did the post-game show, Clay, initially, two questions. Number one, what was the level of surprise at how dominant the Eagles were against the Chiefs? And secondly, did you really wear your number 82 jersey for the entire show?
No, I didn't wear the jersey. I thought about it. I'm like, no, I'm not going to go in there and wear the jersey. But I thought they would win, but I don't think anybody expected what we saw. Obviously, you got the 25 pressures, the 11 quarterback hits, 6 sacks, 3 takeaways. And I thought that it was going to be closer, but that kind of domination when you only send 4 is tough for any quarterback. If you can get pressure with 4, obviously you're not sending anybody, so now you got everybody still in coverage. And I went back to do a little research, and I was studying the game before for Vic Fangio. He played against Patrick Mahomes last year in the playoffs with the Miami Dolphins, and he sent 18-0 blitzes that game last season against the Dolphins. I'm thinking, okay, maybe Fangio's going to light him up here. And the guy doesn't blitz at all. And his defensive line just goes crazy. And I've never seen Patrick Mahomes look like a tap dancer before. But it was just incredible how he was able to get him off his rhythm.
Yeah, I mean, boy, he played poorly. I don't know why everyone seemed afraid to say it, but he did not, like, there was something wrong with him. He was not accurate at the beginning of the game. He missed some throws. I know he was under siege the whole game, but, you know, we always talk about toughness at the quarterback position, and toughness could be defined as taking a sack and making a play. He took two sacks and then threw a pick six. I mean, that you just don't see that happen with him. And as I said, he was really rattled.
Oh, man, I've never seen Patrick Mahomes like that. You're talking 6 of 14 for 33 yards in the first half and two interceptions, one first down. The Eagles had more points in the first half than the Chiefs had net yards. It was his lowest QBR of his entire career. I'm not just talking about his lowest QBR in the playoffs and the Super Bowl, his entire career. So what they're able to do to that guy, I mean, you got to take your hat off to Vic Fangio. The game plan that he came up with, it might have been simple. You look at it, he ran zone on all but two snaps. So he's just playing zone coverage, and particularly cover four, quarters coverage, 60% of the time, and he just let his guys go out there and play fast. It might be simple, but it was effective.
Clay, did you consider Jalen Hurts a top 10 quarterback before this game? And did this outcome maybe, in your mind, help him get into that group? Because I always wonder if a guy is appreciated more in that market than he is outside of it, and maybe Jalen Hurts is an example of that.
I think he's a guy that's just unfairly targeted and almost you know hated on. Obviously, he's not the most boisterous guy. He's not loud and outspoken, but he is just a true professional, a winner, and a guy that literally cares about nothing else but winning football games. To answer the question, I would say he was around 10. He didn't have to do much this year. Like I said, the Eagles had more rushing yards this season than passing yards, the only team in the NFL. So you can't say that, Saquon Barkley was the reason that Hurts, you could have made that argument before Sunday. Saquon averaged 2.3 yards per carry on 20 attempts. Jalen Hurts comes back and has his third highest completion percentage of the season at 77%, passes for 221, two touchdowns, and also runs for 72 yards, which is a Super Bowl record. That's the first player to throw for 200 yards and rush for 50 in a Super Bowl. This guy can do it in so many different ways. You have to put him into the top five category now. You've seen his stats throughout the last two Super Bowls that he played in. He could have been a Super Bowl. He could have been Super Bowl MVP in a losing effort. That's how good he was the last time he played.
Top
I mean, this
five?
Guy.
Yeah, that's pretty
top
good.
Five.
Well, I mean,
him top five. How can you not?
I think that it's kind of like the whole the reason that you had the Buffalo quarterback Josh Allen win MVP was because people looked at Lamar's season, great as it was, and they said, well, he got help. They added a running back, and his responsibility changed, and Josh Allen lost the best receiver he's ever had, and he had a great year. So I think you could make that kind of an argument with Jalen that you know, that he got a running back with him. They got they hired Vic Fangio, and their defense came to life. And, you know, not that he was a passenger in any way. He's a great player. But his role became easier somehow this year, and that's what you witnessed, especially in the Super Bowl when they had to be so worried about Barkley.
Yeah, he did. His role did become easier, and obviously they're running the football. But you got to realize what this guy does. And to relate to the Bears, I see a little bit of Caleb Williams, not a ton, and I think he's a mix between Mahomes and Hurts. But Jalen Hurts, they take away Saquon Barkley. Not a lot of quarterbacks are going to be able to use that to rush for 72 yards in the Super Bowl. Yeah, you're taking away Saquon, but now you're giving up this guy 72 yards. So the running game was still there because of Jalen Hurts.
Right.
And you look at Hurts in the second half, 6 of 7, 100 yards, a TD, 158 rating, a perfect rating, and three carries for 50 yards. When it matters most, that's when Jalen Hurts shows up.
It's a convincing argument, Clay. I have to admit that. So when you're out there at 2:30 in the morning, and you're seeing the Eagles fans climbing poles and doing whatever they do to celebrate. What are they saying and thinking about Nick Sirianni now? The guy that would yell at them earlier in the season has come a long way since then. And let's face it, due respect, he's got a Super Bowl ring, and he's only been there 4 years.
He's got a Super Bowl ring. He's only been there 4 years. He's been in the playoffs every year that he's been there. He's got a top five winning percentage in NFL history. And obviously, now he's got the Super Bowl ring. So it's funny, they start 2-2, and people are calling for Sirianni's head because last year, yeah. Yes, they won 11 games. They made the playoffs, but they lost six of their last seven, and they didn't know what to do. You know, there was no way they could figure this thing out. They end up getting bounced off the playoff by the Bucks. But he comes back, new D coordinator, new offensive coordinator, makes it all the way back to the Super Bowl. Now you think about it, though, he had two different offensive and defensive coordinators in two different Super Bowls. Who's the one consistent guy? Nick Sirianni. So you can't say, okay, what's this guy do? And that's what a lot of people say because he doesn't call plays, right? But he's got two different offensive and defensive coordinators. So he's the only consistent guy there. He's the guy that motivates his players. If you talk to any of those guys, I'm still friends with Brandon Graham. When I was out there for the divisional round, I was hanging out with Jason Kelce. And Nick is a guy that they love. They play for him no matter what they might look like in the national media. He is intelligent, knows what he's doing.
I'm not going to argue with you, but like all of those assistants became head coaches, including Kellen, but except for Vic, who is, in the words of Sirianni, the most underrated defensive coordinator in league history, probably the best defensive coordinator in league history, he said on Monday. So I'm just saying he's been surrounded by great coaches too. I wonder who's going to last longer in their current head coaching job. Is it Nick Sirianni or Andy Reid at the soon-to-be 67?
I love Coach Reid, but, I mean, he's getting up there, and you saw his offense just – I'm not saying it's getting figured out, but all year – he wasn't able to move the ball, and yeah, maybe that's because he didn't have a lot of the weapons, and the offensive line was a little bit shaky. But that's an old school offense. I love the offense, but I feel like you need a bit a younger feel there. And I don't know if Coach Reid is going to have that longevity, and just an age thing. Nick Sirianni,
right.
You want another stat? He's the youngest coach. He's the only coach in their first 4 years of coaching to. He has the best winning percentage, excuse me, the most wins of any coach in their first four seasons in NFL history. You look at that, how can you bet against that? This guy's, nobody else in NFL history has more wins in their first four seasons. And I know it was ugly at the end of last year, but you got to say, this guy's going to continue to get better. Obviously, they're going to lose Kellen Moore, but he's replaced coordinators before, so I trust that Sirianni is going to be a guy that can last.
Talking with Clay Harbor from the Chicago Sports Network, who was on the call, WIP postgame show in Philadelphia when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. So, Clay, you had an interesting tweet yesterday in regard to, we all here in Chicago, as you know, have talked about the Bears targeting Trey Smith in free agency. Well, now maybe they want to keep him, and if they do, you offered a pretty good alternative in Mekhi Becton, who was the Eagles guard as well. What's the likelihood that he is going to hit the market before the Eagles lock him up? And how would you compare the two guys at that guard position?
Man, Trey Smith, I was high on him during the regular season, but you look at him in the playoffs, the division round, he gave up five pressures, didn't have a good game. The conference championship did not have a good game. And then obviously the Super Bowl gave up a sack, a couple of hurries and three pressures. He just did not play well in the playoffs. And he was just getting out physical. And that's not what I want to see. He's a big, he's an athletic guy, and I think he could fit Ben Johnson's system. When I look at Mekhi Becton, this guy is 6'6", 350 pounds, and he can move. Obviously, he's got this connotation because he was a bust in New York. But when they moved him into guard, which changes a lot of things,
the guy is
a top-level guard. I don't think it's far. I think it's tit-for-tat with him and Trey Smith. I think Trey Smith is going to garner all the attention when you can get Becton a little bit under the radar, because the Eagles do got some players they got to bring back. Zach Bond made $1.5 million this year. David, you make more than that on the score. You know, I mean, they have to pay him. He could have been a defensive player of the year. So there's some pieces they got to get back. I don't know if they're able to bring Becton back, Bond back, Josh Sweat back, Milton Williams, who to me is one of the most underrated interior defenders in the league. The guy's great against the run and pass. He would be a guy I'd be interested in. So they got a lot of pieces to try to fill there, and I think Becton's going to be one of them that they let slip through the hole there, because they got Jeff Stoutland University, and they trust that Stoutland can develop whoever they can. They got Landon Dickerson, a draft pick there. So I think Becton reaches free agency because of Landon Dickerson and Jeff Stoutland. They trust him to develop whoever.
I'm curious, Clay, did I read somewhere, did I hear you say that you once played for Dan Rauscher, that you have a relationship with him? What can you tell us about the new offensive line coach for the Bears?
Yeah, I had a cup of tea, a cup of coffee in New Orleans, right, with the Saints. Yeah. You know, I played there for a year. Rauscher, unbelievable dude. He's just really good at teaching technique, and he's a good developer. I was there. We drafted Ryan Ramczyk and Alvin Kamara. Obviously, Kamara was a big name, but Ramczyk, he was a guy, when he first came into OTAs, I said, no way this guy is going to be our starting tackle this year. And obviously, a lot of times, rookies, you know, will develop quickly. But the way Rauscher worked with him and developed Ramczyk, the way he made Terrion Arnold a better player, the way Larry Warford, he turned him into a Pro Bowler when he got there, he was just a mid-level free agent signing. This guy knows how to develop offensive linemen. He's a technician. He's a great teacher. And he's just a guy that enjoys it. Old school coach. He's going to let you hear about it if you're not doing up to your standards. He's going to hold you accountable. But I think it's perfect for the Bears. Exactly the guy they need.
Overall, Clay, when you look at the staff that Ben Johnson has assembled from a ex-player's perspective, what do you like about it, and is there anything that concerns you?
No, I love it, man. I like playing for former players in Philly. And I can't say, it's tough for me to talk bad about this guy. I'm not going to talk bad about him, but he's the Chiefs tight end coach right now. His name's Tom Melvin. Me and him didn't click. I mean, he's a guy. He's a nerd, never played football in his life, and I just couldn't relate to the guy. Then you go to Jacksonville. I have a former player there, and then obviously Dan Campbell, former player at tight end. It's just so easy to relate to these guys, and they relate to you because they've been there and they've played the game. They can teach the technique, and it's almost like you're listening a little bit more. And I love that you got a lot of experience, firstly, and then you got a lot of former players that have been in the arena, have had the pads on. They know what it looks like when you're trying to pick up a blitz. They know what it looks like when you're trying to diagnose one high or two high safeties. They know what it looks like when you're bluffing the blitz and they have a fire zone. They can just teach better, and I love how they got so many guys with experience on this roster, experience in coaching, but also experience in playing, because that makes a big difference.
I'm curious, Clay, when you look at that sort of thing, and when we talk about Rauscher and his teaching ability, are there any current Bears offensive linemen that got, like, five free agents? They got a couple backup guys. Is there anyone that you think he can work with? Is there anyone you would sign back because of the way that he works with people? Is there any hope for returning any of these guys?
Project.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think Kieran Amagaji, I think he got thrown in a tough spot, yeah, there, starting his first game in Minnesota. And I can tell you guys that place might not have a reputation for being a loud place. It's one of the loudest stadiums I've ever played at. When you're a tackle coming from Yale, you've never used silent count in your life. So you have to look at the center and head movement before you can move. And then to put him out there with no training camp, with no preseason games, without ever using a snap count. I went to Missouri State. I didn't know what a silent count was. And that's tough when you're on the edge of the line there trying to get a jump. When you throw this guy out, and he doesn't even know what a silent count is. So I think he's a guy that has the tools. We saw him last year in the Senior Bowl. He was a guy that had a little bit of buzz about him. That's why he drafted him in the third round.
Yeah.
He's the exact type of guy I think Rauscher can develop. As far as the rest of the guys, you know, Matt Pryor, he's been in the league. He's been under Stout. I don't think he's going to, you know, he's kind of reached his ceiling, but he's a guy I wouldn't mind seeing back.
Bates
is a guy that's been around the league. I don't think there's a lot of developmental projects. Maybe the mini fridge. Maybe he makes the mini fridge into an actual fullback. I don't know. He can develop him into something. Maybe give him a couple more carries.
That's great. Hey, thanks so much, Clay. We really appreciate it.
Good stuff,
it, man.
Clay.
Great stuff.
Welcome back.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys.
That is Clay Harbor. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if Amagaji could be moved inside. In other words, let's say that you end up with somehow getting a Will Campbell.
And you have your tackle position addressed that way. Amagaji would be a guy that you could see. Based on how big the offensive lines are these days, you look at the Eagles as an example. Yeah, maybe Kurron Amagaji would be somebody that could play guard.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. All right, we've got a lot to get to. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cue up the Asia. It was the heat of the moment.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David's got a new pet project.
I'm just curious. No, I think this is interesting. There's not a lot going on today, but I thought this caught my eye. Chicago State is starting a football program.
That's crazy to me.
And they are beginning their search this morning in a press release at 7:31 this morning. So I've been sitting on this for a while. I'm very intrigued.
You must be uncomfortable.
Chicago State is looking for a head football coach.
Should I add that to the update?
Would you please?
Would I say that they did this earlier today?
Don't poke the bear. Don't poke
Here
the bear.
Here he goes.
This Chicago State's beginning its search for a head football coach. They're officially beginning the quest and the project of bringing Division I FCS football to the South Side, according to the tweet. And they're excited to reach this milestone in football planning. Hiring a coach will give this program a face and bring them one step closer to D1 football on the South Side. That's a big, ambitious project.
Yeah.
That's a huge undertaking. And they need a face of the program. They need somebody to go in there and just want to do this and not know exactly what's going to come next. There are going to be some growing pains. In 2023, the university established an initial fundraising goal of $4 million to support overall sports expansion with an emphasis on women's athletics as well as football. So the fundraising campaign is underway. Boy, you just don't see universities starting football programs. We talked at the beginning of the show about the popularity of the Super Bowl and how football is the sport that we are addicted to as a country.
Yeah.
And here we are, Chicago. Chicago State is starting a football program. I find that fascinating. Who are they going to hire as a coach?
Well, I mean, this is the problem. I don't know. I think if you're starting out at Chicago State, if you're starting a football program, you'd probably be best off hiring a coach who is currently a high school coach in Chicago. In other words, someone that, you know, and I said to you when you suggested this, like a Jordan Lynch type, somebody who runs a good program, who has an idea of what a player looks like, and who understands guys that aren't top recruits go into the best schools.
I think that's an excellent name.
I'm just saying.
I think
that's
an excellent possibility.
But I don't know if it's him.
I don't know if he's interested.
And you doubt a lot of people would want to leave their program, but they would know tons of players, and you gotta get players if you're gonna
be
able to win. Now you're not gonna be able to get top Division I talents, but you should know what a player looks like, and you should have a feel for the names of guys that are kind of
and maybe a familiarity with what you're getting yourself into with the city, with the region.
Right. And right. Because you're going to be recruiting Chicago. I don't think you can go outside the
Brandon Fryer, like many Mark Carmel fans, would object to you just plucking Jordan Lynch off
Carmel
staff.
And I doubt he would want to do it, frankly, because he probably has a better team at Mount Carmel than you can build initially at Chicago State. And that's not an insult. I'm just saying you're starting from scratch. So it's
you look at former players that are going to places. And Michael Vick is in coaching now. Deion Sanders started it. Guys without any experience who will become faces of the program. Eddie George is a head coach.
Yeah.
He interviewed for the Bears job.
Yeah.
Ray Lewis, I think, is talking about getting into it if he hasn't already. Ed Reed. There are all kinds
Robbie Gold is moving from one program to another.
Would he be a candidate at Chicago State?
I don't think so, but I don't know.
Howard Griffith is a guy who has, I think, been involved in the fundraising effort, the expansion, and maybe the beginning of this project. I don't know that he would want to coach. I know his son's in coaching. His son's on the Illini staff. Houston Griffith played at Notre Dame.
Well, I think, you know, that might be a good place to look for a coach, a support staff member of a Big Ten school. Again, I don't know if they feel like they're stepping down and it's awful hard to start from scratch.
It's just an ambitious project.
And it's very ambitious.
I respect ambition, and I don't think we see it a lot, especially when you're beginning something that seems so immense. Let's go start a football program.
Where's the small school that just won a title this year?
North Central?
Why not go there?
Find their coach?
If you could, ask him if he's interested in going to Chicago State. And I don't know. Again, I don't know what they're paying. I don't know what the facilities look like. I think there's a lot of information you would need.
It just caught my eye. I'm glad we mentioned it.
Yeah.
What else caught your eye? Because the Bears added
The Bears signed an offensive guard in Jordan McFadden on waivers from the Chargers. It was on waivers a while ago. He's a former fifth-round pick. of the Chargers. He played in 13 games over 2 years, comes from Clemson. He was an all-ACC guard. I don't know what that means, the ACC back in 2022, a part of the national championship season in 2018. But they just brought in another guard. You look at the Bears, and they have all these, as we talked to Clay about, they have all these guys headed to free agency, which, you know, I'm not saying you need to hang on to everybody, but you need players, and you need, you know, so they brought in this guy, and it reminded me of Dustin's favorite player, who of course is the center, Stromberg. No.
What's Stromberg? Dustin's favorite player?
He keeps mentioning this guy. How many times have you told me to keep an eye?
Ricky Stromberg's just a just keep an eye. Bears need to build an offensive line. Arguably three pieces, maybe four. He might be a sneaky good fix for the center position, Ricky Stromberg.
Because he's a guy that was a third round pick, is that
highly
right?
Highly drafted. He's got had a bum knee, and Commanders cut him loose.
And so the
Bears picked him up.
Because he had a bum knee.
Bad knee.
Does he still have a bum knee? Is it not?
Not bad enough to be part of the Bears' offensive line, apparently.
I mean, you guys are really like.
Well, no, I'm just. Hey,
you guys are really reaching here.
Yeah,
Stromberg and Jordan McFadden.
I'm just saying they need players. That's all I'm saying. And if they're taking guys that were once drafted into the NFL and failed somewhere, and thinking they can make a player out of them, God bless them. I mean, that sounds good. If you've got a guy that knows how to develop talent and you can get going. I mean, look, I don't think it's really a very easy thing to put together three or four interior linemen.
Tough call.
It's going to be tough.
Tough challenge.
You're going to have to get it. You're going to have to draft some, and you would hope they get at least one guy out of free agency, it maybe two.
Which is a bigger challenge, creating a football program or rebuilding the Bears' offensive line?
I think rebuilding the line, because we just saw a Super Bowl where the team with the best line of scrimmage play won the game.
And their offensive line, the Eagles' offensive line, might be missing Mekhi Becton. Their defensive line may be saying goodbye to Josh Sweat. So if they keep those guys intact in Philly, I think they will have every reason to believe they could return to the Super Bowl.
I think for the first time, Philly is going to be challenged a little bit by the salary cap. I don't think they have been up to this point. I think the Chiefs have been abutting it for a while, and they're kind of used to it. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with Philly. There is this weird – people want to – they want to get a little taste of a winner, right? So, I remember some really bad signings that came out of Super Bowls. Who was the cornerback that Oakland signed? The guy, basically, somebody threw two passes to the guy in the Super Bowl, and he ended up getting a big deal in Oakland out of it. You got to be careful. But like someone like Josh Sweat is a seriously good player and had a seriously good Super Bowl. I just wouldn't pay him for the Super Bowl. I'd pay him for what he can do.
He will get paid in part for the Super Bowl, though.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'd be cautious of that.
Yeah. I don't think that you want to overreact if you're the Bears necessarily.
I would definitely pay Trey Smith for a bad Super Bowl. I just don't think he's getting out
of
there.
Well, Clay Harbor had a pretty good point of view talking about how Becton is an option, but also Trey Smith did not have a great postseason.
Right. So
he did not have a great playoff.
Maybe that reduces his price.
Maybe it brings it back. But I also think you have to balance that toward the need and supply and demand. And if the Chiefs want to rebuild their offensive line, doing so does not seem in line with letting go your best offensive lineman. So it would be very strange, I think, to expect them to say goodbye to Trey Smith. My sense is they're going to try to figure out a way to keep him, to tag him, or whatever the case may be.
That's a really good question. Where will Chicago State play football after putting a team together?
Don't know. Maybe Soldier Field will be available.
Someone wants to know if they'd play at Gately Stadium.
Possibly.
I've been to games at Gately Stadium. I really hope they can do better than that.
I was a stringer when I was at Northwestern in grad school, and I can remember covering high school. I covered a couple high school football games at Gately Stadium.
I covered a couple high school football games at Gately Stadium when I was like 18 and in college doing prep work for Taylor Bell.
I was doing prep work for the Chicago Tribune.
I didn't compete against you, probably. I didn't go to graduate school so I could cover a prep game, is my point.
Wow.
You may have overpaid for your education.
That definitely stung there.
No,
that wasn't a shot.
It wasn't a shot at you.
It was
about my own insecurity that I never got a degree.
What am I doing at graduate school covering a high school football game?
That's my question.
Something got to pay your dues, man. Got to pay your dues.
I paid my dues when I was younger.
229 says Matt Bowen would be a candidate to be the Chicago State head coach.
I love Matt Bowen. I would not wish that on him.
I don't think he wants a lot of work. The big commitment. Yeah. Still a young family, big commitment.
Yeah, but it'd be a huge commitment. He'd be very qualified, though.
Oh, he'd be great.
He'd be a great coach.
I would try to get him to...
You learned something when he talks about football.
I'd like York to steal him away from IC.
How about get Jason McKee, and then he could bring the coaches he currently has.
I think Jason McKee is the kind of guy that you're talking about. Jason McKee is the kind of guy that you would bring attention to that program, has had success as a high school coach.
That's what I'm saying.
Know some people in the industry and would be a great front man for a program like that.
There you go. We just made a hire.
That was the first name I was thinking of, Jason McKee. He's on TV, former Bears player, Chicago connections. I mean, what more can you want?
It's a great choice.
Did we mention Tom Zivakowski, who's taking over at St. Pat's?
Tommy Z. Great story by Dion Miller on ABC7. Tommy Zivakowski, again, in the news, back coaching high school, back home. He would be a terrific. But let him coach high school first. Let him get a taste of that. Let him... see what that's like, and then possibly Tommy Zabakowski is a terrific story. I can't wait for the movie.
You love him.
I do love him.
Jeff Samardzija could take all his baseball.
He's made too much money.
His baseball acumen, and
he doesn't want to work that hard.
Okay.
I don't think he wants to work that hard.
Tommy Z does.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
I mean, you got to start somewhere.
Samardzija.
What's Lovey doing right now? I'm just throwing a name.
Interesting.
Out there.
Wow. I would not wish that upon Lovey. It's just a lot of...
Depends on what you're looking for
at
this stage. But what are you coaching for? What are you coaching for? You want to make an impact. You want to make a difference. All these things that are idealistic about coaching, it's got to appeal to...
How you doing? Sorry, I was just...
That's okay, go ahead.
I was having my own little rapport.
That's all right. Lovey is an interesting name. I don't think he would want to. This is going to be a huge undertaking to be the head coach of a brand new college football program that has ambition. I want to know where they're getting their money from. I want to know how they're going to raise the money to be sustainable.
Right.
And that's always the biggest challenge. So possibly a couple people say it, Olin Kreutz.
Why would Olin want to do that? And another guy is too overpaid for it.
Yeah,
he's just made too much money in his life to want to. Who knows? I mean, whatever he wants to do. But I think
Bulls back in action tonight. They're back home, right? They have the Pistons.
They got the Pistons for two straight nights.
Yeah, back to back games.
What the hell is that?
I don't know.
They're at home against the Pistons, two games running, and they got flu going through the team.
It's a very quirky schedule this week because the All-Star game and you have to play certain teams. They did it last year, I think. I was told last night the Hawks,
really?
They played back-to-back games against the Hawks.
They should play one of their flu players just to sneeze on these guys so then tomorrow they have the advantage.
Yeah, get Cade Cunningham out of there, right?
But what if you get the wrong guy sick? What if you get one more of your own guys sick? No.
Well, and that
bad idea.
Maybe could they pass it to Patrick Williams?
Wow.
Might actually get back in the starting lineup because of the flu bugs.
That's just me. He's better coming off the bench. He is.
Matas will be. Did you see what he said yesterday? He said that he's not going to the slam dunk contest to lose.
I like his confidence. Would you elaborate on that?
He didn't say he's going to win. He said, no, I wouldn't elaborate. You just say elaborate.
Okay.
It's a one-word direction.
Elaborate.
There you go.
I need one more dunk, so I have four. I need one more.
Is there anybody going to be involved with it?
Nah.
It's all going to be on you?
Nah. Maybe I'll pull out a jersey. We'll see. I also got one that Zach helped me with. That was the main one that I think I'm going to maybe pull a jersey out. We'll see.
There's a nice tease.
He's pulling out Michael Jordan's jersey.
Really? I think he sounds like he's pulling out Zach LaVine's jersey.
I don't know. Why would you do that?
You've just made a face. Because he's the guy who gave you the dunk.
He's traded.
Yeah, I know he is, but didn't he win the dunk contest?
I see. Yeah, he did. But I think that would be kind of...
Mike was given the dunk contest because it was in Chicago. Dominique won it that year. Let's not get into it because Dustin will get upset.
I just don't think that pulling out Zach's jersey would make a lot of sense. If you're going to pull out a classic vintage jersey, it would be number 23.
Well, unfortunately, Zach LaVine Bulls jersey is vintage now.
Did you see the Kings won last night with a last-second shot by?
DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah. DeMar DeRozan.
Who else?
He's taking the last shot with Zach on the floor. Just like old times.
Shocking.
You know, as I went back and watched the singing of one Kendrick Lamar, DeMar DeRozan is mentioned in that song. Yeah. Because he played in Toronto.
He's in the video, too.
Yes, he is. He wants him back, and he tells him to come back to Central.
Yep. The most interesting thing about that sentence is that when I went back and watched the halftime show,
Why is that so stunning?
I did too. I watched it
see,
too.
See, there you go. I didn't.
I wanted to get all the messaging.
Yes, and it's difficult.
I read all the stories.
When you're yeah. Oh, well, if you've read the story, why the would stories. You watch it?
I read the reports.
You read other people's opinion of it. You didn't want your own.
I had my own opinion. I supplemented that with others.
I got to the halftime show, and then I stopped rewatching the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started with that, and then I went back.
Because did your opinion of Tom Brady change? You got a lot of pub yesterday for that.
I got to be honest with you. I did not listen to the game in the same way. You know what I mean? I kind of was watching plays and going through. I didn't care what Tom was saying that time.
Dustin thought that maybe we were a little harsh on Tom Brady after his second go-around.
Were we?
I specifically listened. I cranked the TV.
Yeah.
He wasn't great.
Yes,
but
he wasn't.
At least in the first half, to be fair. I did not get all the way through. I did stop it at halftime. He wasn't as bad as even I thought he was in the first half. I think part of it's the game. Like you're so like caught off guard by how bad Mahomes was playing that it just made everything bad, right? But he wasn't great, but he wasn't as bad. Troy Aikman wasn't great at the beginning. Troy Aikman has become the guy now, right? Mm-hmm. When Troy started, Troy was not great. We took shots at Troy that he wasn't fantastic, and he became fantastic.
I don't think I ever took a shot at Troy.
I never took a shot at Troy Aikman.
No, you're talking to yourself there, pal. Don't be dragging us into it. I will say this. I missed the entire thing that it was the halftime was like a video and in the game and the whole, like that all escaped me as I watched it live in, while I was watching the Super Bowl because I wasn't concentrating enough on it. But when I went back and watched it, I saw it completely differently.
Mm-hmm.
The halftime show. It was built like a game, and there was a.
It was very well done.
Yeah, it was really well done.
It was artistry.
Yes,
it was instructive. It was educational. It was a lot of things. People didn't necessarily like it who maybe weren't the target audience, but you could definitely appreciate it. No doubt about that.
Yep. All right, we've got. I believe it's Marshall and Dan.
Yeah.
Right. Let's get that straight, and we'll talk to them next. Mully and Hall on the Score.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie.
But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omicid.com. That's Almased.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.